Blog and Talk back. Radio.
Back again once more for more another season of hockey. It is Slapshot Rob, now coming to you live tonight from Buffalo, New York, for talking about hockey, the Sabres, the NHL, and everything in between. I know you guys missed me. I missed you too. Back from the ashes of two dismal seasons, long cold winters in Buffalo. It's exciting back here. It's exciting to watch hockey. It's exciting to be back on the Buffalo water cooler. So, how to start talking about this season is inevitably to talk about the previous 2 years we've suffered through. But I think the hurting is over. We finally have something to be excited about, and I'm glad to be here talking to you about that. So if you have anything you'd like to talk about on this, anything about the new players on the team, anything about the new season starting in the NHL, give me a call at 646-915-9969. And where do we feel in this team? What do you expect the accomplishments for the Sabres to be this year? I know looking for them to make that 30 to 40 point jump it's going to take, actually probably closer to 50, to make a playoff spot is looking really hard right now, especially when you're losing three of your first four games. But I think what you ultimately want to look at is, what do we have? What do we have in defense? What do we have in goaltending? Because those are probably your two biggest question marks. Already living up to the hype, of course, is Jack Eichel. I have been able to watch that goal he scored against Columbus on a long loop over and over again. I'm sure most of the people around the area have. And at this point, it's just happy and exciting to be talking about hockey again and not looking for the arguments of a pro tank or against it, or does a real fan cheer for your team to lose, even if it is better in the long run. I'm happy to be talking about matchups. I'm happy to be talking about what is this team building for. So just before we get into anything too deep tonight, just to give you my first thoughts on anything, I was, of course, one of the ones who was very pro-tank a couple times. We were talking last year. I knew what you had waiting for you at the end of that long suffering was a generational talent. And I was even happier with the guy they picked up. I became much more enamored with the skill set that Eichel brought to this team, especially with his polish, and I think he was more NHL ready than everyone's consensus number one pick. Now, I really don't see that big a difference right now. Now, time will tell. You're only four games into essentially two kids playing in a professional league to know exactly what you're going to get. If you watch now, you see that Eichel is just more ready for this league. McDavid is going to take some time, and he may end up being the next Gretzky, the next Crosby, but right now I'm happy with what we got here. So I would look at this season as a long tryout. You're going to see some tough games. You're seeing it right now in the team is struggling at getting a consistent start to a game. They have not had a good first period yet in this season. Even in the preseason, you are seeing them struggling and coming back late in games. But what we're looking at right now is a young team. You've got 9 new players on this team. You have many new forwards, many new defensemen, and you're just trying to get a mesh and trying to get a feel for what is happening on this team. You still don't even have lines put together yet. You have big question marks in goaltending. I think a big setback was having an injury right off the start with a big piece that you paid a hefty price for in bringing in Leonard as a starting goaltender. That cost you a first-round draft pick, and now you don't even know what you have for 2 months. So this season, I look for getting chemistry, seeing who works well with each other, implementing a new coaching system, all the things you want to see a team that's going to make another step go with. Maybe it's another 2 years or so, but at some point, this is a team that will be a major contender, like Pittsburgh, like Chicago, like L.A., like Anaheim, someone that's going to consistently make deep playoff runs. So right now, you have another big challenge coming up tomorrow. The Sabres are still down in Florida. They did not play a great game last night in Florida. They're in Tampa Bay tomorrow night playing against the defending conference champion in the Lightning, who they did not play well against last Saturday. I think most people would agree that game was not the prettiest game to watch. They gave up a lot of chances. Their defense is not protecting a goalie that is giving up a lot of rebounds. Chad Johnson is a capable backup, but right now I would say he's not a starter that you're going to want there long term. He's giving up rebounds. He's letting in not soft goals, but letting goals back in that you would like back. But what you got to be encouraged by is no game have they been so out of it they stopped fighting. Last night they scored late to make it a 1-goal game, had some shots at tying it up, but ultimately came up short. Their special teams are clicking. They're already scoring power play goals at a much better clip than last year. And they're getting shots on goal. They're not staying pinned in their own end for minutes upon minutes at a time. So let's look at what we have coming up in the next week for the Sabres. They are finishing off a road trip tomorrow with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then they will be coming back home. The next game after that is going to be on the 21st when they host the Maple Leafs. And quite frankly, I am always quite amused to see it, the Toronto fans coming this year. How do we feel about the Leafs this year? The Leafs are in a scenario like the Sabres were the last 2 years where they are tearing it down. They are not in a position where they're going to be making playoff runs. They're going to be probably the ones looking to draft in the top 3, the top 5 to make something. How do we feel where the Sabres are going to finish in this division? It's not the strongest division in the entire league. The guaranteed top 3 will be making a playoff spot, but I think those might be the only 3 that make a playoff spot. I don't think you're going to have a wild card coming out of the Atlantic Division this year. So I think it's a guarantee that you're going to have Montreal and Tampa Bay making the playoffs. And Ottawa's looking good, but that might be it. And that might be why we're looking at another offseason without the playoffs here in Buffalo. If at any point anything that would shock you this season would be if we're talking about finishing 30th again. This is not a team built to fail. This is a team that I think you should be okay with middling around that 11th or 10th spot in the conference. probably going to be a lottery pick, just as the way the league is functioning. But if you think of it as the way the games are working right now, where they're slow to get going, this is going to be a season that's slow to get going. So going on from my tangent there, sorry about that. After the Leafs, then you have Montreal, New Jersey, and then before we come back to you next week, we will be talking about the Devils at that point. Big things this year is all the afternoon games. I think that's going to be a jarring change for a lot of fans. I am not sure how I feel about that. Saturday afternoon games at the arena are good probably for younger kids, but I think you're alienating your core fan base at that point. So how many other big things are we looking at for the league at this point? Other big news, of course, was the 41-game suspension by Torres. I thought that was a borderline hit at best. I think it deserved a suspension, and I've heard the argument that you're looking at a man who's had several opportunities to change his game, and at this point you're now punishing him for a career of mistakes as opposed to a single bad hit. The other news in the league, you're looking at a new replay system. We saw it right off the first game with Ottawa. I am not in favor of it. I think you're slowing down and making it even harder to score in a league that's already starving for goals. And we do have a call in at this point. One moment, please. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am, Rob. It's G-Money. What's going on, bud?
Hey, G-Money. How you doing? Just kind of talking over some basic things getting started. Sorry I didn't get you in on the air sooner.
No problem, man. Welcome back to the cooler.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's almost emerging from the shadows like the Sabres are this year. The rest of the league was ignoring it. Just like that, you're getting slapshot back on the cooler.
Definitely. I think it's going to be – I was just listening to a couple things you were saying about the Sabres and, you know, where they think they're going to finish. And I think – I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but I think that their big Achilles heel, or two of them, I think you did mention, and I completely agree, is the goaltending and the defense. That those are the two big questions going forward. I think the forwards are good, but they're young. They'll come along. I want to see – exactly where they're going to be around like the 40 game mark. See when they hit their stride there to see how good they're going to be. But until then, I'm not going to really make any I'm not going to overly judge them or jump to conclusions, you know, any sort of knee jerk reaction on what I see until they get about halfway through the season, I think.
Yeah. I think through halfway through the season, you're looking at, like I was talking about earlier, what concerns me more right now of those games is I'm seeing them start playing about the second period. Like all four games this year so far, it feels like they're phoning in the first period. Even in the preseason, it was like they didn't want to get going, or they were having a hard time feeling out the other team, or if they were just not sure how to attack the other team. But it seems like you're giving away a period every game right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night against Florida, it was not until 5 minutes into that second period that they even looked like they wanted to start skating. And that's the part that concerns me, is not so much if they're going to get outplayed right now because of the inexperience, because of the lack of time this team has had to gel, the fact that even Bylsma talks about not keeping lines. He's all about pairs of forwards, which is not a way I've ever heard a coach talk before. It just concerns me that they seem to be so slow to get off the mark. Now, do you think that's, like you were talking about the 40-game mark where you want to see where they're at, do you think that's kind of the same thing, that they're having a hard time getting going in each game in the same way that they're probably going to have a little bit of trouble in the earlier parts of the season?
Yeah, and I think that has to do a lot with, like you said, the what do I want to say, the players not knowing each other. A lot of players have never played with each other before. on the same team. Granted, you know, not even on international play. A lot of these guys don't know each other's tendencies, and I think that has a lot to do with it. Another reason I think is because this team is very young still. You got guys like, you know, Eichel and Reinhardt and Ristolainen and guys like that that are still very young, under 20 years old, who still, you know, need to kind of find their feet. I mean, a guy like Eichel, for instance, I mean, he's been playing well. But there are instances that I've seen during the first few games here where he does look like he gets a little tired, gets a little winded. And I think that has to come with conditioning, and it also has to come with, you know, playing a full season. And that's why I said I kind of wanted to see how they would do, and especially him around the 40-game mark. Because if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, that's about where the max as far as like a collegiate player would play is 40 games. And I want to see where he is and see if he falls off of that cliff at that 40-game mark, see if he can push through it.
Yeah, the other thing you had a lot in college is you have like Friday, Saturday. It's kind of as the AHL thing a little bit where you don't have a lot of games during the week. It's a little bit where you play like one or two games on a weekend, then you have 5 or 6 days off for a game. One or two games on a weekend, and then long breaks. It's not even as much as the number of games. It's the number of games within like 3 days. Like now they're playing a game on Thursday. They're playing a game on Saturday. They're playing a game the following Monday. Things like that. That's the other part of it as well. But you're right about the number of games. But I agree with you. He has had his moments where. Now, I, of the ones who's concerned me so far, and I know 4 games is hardly a sample size, he's not the forward that's concerned me. The forward that concerns me is a guy who's been here for a few years, and that's an Ennis who I think is channeling his inner Maxima Finneganoff right now, trying to just skate through the entire rink on his own, not using his teammates. That's the guy who I've looked at and kind of annoyed with. But if you were to say, beyond Eichel, who is the one player you're looking forward most to seeing this season?
Besides Eichel, I would say Reinhardt. I want to see Sam Reinhardt's play, you know, see if how he can do in a full season, to see if he doesn't look overwhelmed by the NHL like he was last year, like he was overmatched in the corner on the half wall when he's trying to fight for puck battles. Because he was just getting pushed around like a rag doll last year, and he just looked like a kid playing with men. Now I want to see if he can turn the corner. I mean, he put on some weight, put on some muscle over the offseason, did what the coaches told him to do in getting bigger, getting stronger, getting faster, getting stronger on his feet, on his skates, which was very apparent last year that he was nowhere near NHL ready. And now that he went through camp, made the team, and I am seeing some of those positives as far as his skating ability, fighting for puck battles in the corner. I've seen him win a couple of those battles using his body, you know, just to shield off the defender and, you know, come out of the corner with the puck. Whereas last year he wasn't winning those battles. He was just getting thrown off the puck. Now I see some positives there. Granted, he is only 19 years old, so let's see how – as the season goes on, to see if he can continue to play that way, continue to play that, you know, tough grinding play that you need to in the NHL, because the 82-game season is a grind. We all know that. So, yeah, Ristolainen, Reinhardt's the guy that I want to see.
Right. Now, Reinhardt's an interesting case because there's a very good argument for having him start the year in Rochester, and I don't know if I'm totally against it. But for Reinhardt, I look at it as, do I want him playing 10 minutes in Buffalo or 20 minutes in Rochester? Do I want him playing in all the situations with the Amherst, or do I want him just in spots here but still practicing and staying with the pros? It's basically the traditional AHL approach, or the way Tampa Bay handled Drouin last year, where it was he played, 5 minutes a game some nights, and like it's healthy scratches during the playoffs. And you know, for them it's working because he's looking very good this year. But, you know, to be honest, I don't know how much I'm looking from him this year because part of me is still nagging with the decision of, man, maybe he should be playing the top line down in Rochester just to get that top line pro experience. But I agree with you. I'm excited to see him. Now, I'm going on the other side of things. The guy I'm looking forward most to watching is Mark Pizik because all I heard last year was how great he was in the AHL. And we even saw him up here a few times, like how he was making that pass. Now, people forget that's a former first-round pick. That's not some late-round steal we were looking to get or a free agent out of college. They've invested a few years in him, and don't get me wrong, I don't feel like he's a bust or anything like that, but I'd like to see – he's someone who I'd like to see step up and be a consistent top-four defenseman because I think he has it in him. And you were talking about – we were both talking about concerns on the blue line. I think if you start nailing down that top four, and I think he should be a member of that top four by the end of the year and not going forward. That's someone who I'd really like to see become a pro because he has yet to play a full year up here. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think you agree with me on this. He should have been up here all year last year. If you were looking to finish 30th, he definitely would have spent the whole year up here. And I think McCabe may have even spent part of the year up here. But
sure,
I want to see what he has. And I'd like to add on that, just because I watched the D probably way more than I should. I also like to see what we finally get out of Bogosian once he finally gets healthy, because I'm thinking once Bogosian's up here, I think that might be the end of Koliakovo.
Yeah, I agree. And my only concern with, you know, possibly, just to backtrack real quick, with putting Reinhardt in the AHL, it's kind of like the lesser of two evils. Like, would you rather have a kid up here who's 19, want him to learn, or would you rather have Legwon? I mean, you have more offensive upside with Reinhardt than you do Legwon. Legwon's just kind of like a, you know, one of those fourth line grinder centers who just kind of just has a roster spot and he fills a roster spot. So if I'm looking at it that way, I would say, yeah. I mean, I want Reinhardt all day over Legwon. I mean, I'll have Legwon as a healthy scratch until somebody gets injured. That's just my opinion.
Well, in that argument, then it becomes a little bit also of, is this a year where you're thinking you're making an actual run to a playoff spot, or are you doing this as a developmental? See, in your argument, having Reinhardt here as someone who can score more goals, that's an argument of, I think I can win at least something now, and I want some person who gives me a better chance at winning now, where the argument is on the contrary is it better for me next year if Reinhardt plays as assistant captain with the Amherst? Now, I mean, he does give you that option at any point if you feel like he is slipping. It's not like he has to clear waivers. We could send him down tomorrow if Bielsma feels like that would do good for his career. So, I mean, like Legwon, you're right. Now, Legwon's probably on his last professional contract. I mean, maybe he gets a PTO with a team next year, but I think he's playing out his last season. So, you're right. He's a healthy scratch for me on a team I think is going down through February and March, maybe 6 or 4 2-points out of a playoff race at that point. But is it really in my interest for when I think the Sabres are, let's say in 2 years. In 2 years, you're looking at a team now that's maybe fighting for a division championship in the regular season. Maybe is up against a good young team like in the Panthers. Maybe it is the Panthers and the Sabres that are fighting for this division title every year going soon. Because I think that's a really good young team down there. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Tampa may not have the money to keep their team together. So maybe in 2 years that is where it's coming at. Now, just before I go on too much of a tangent, my point on this one was, do I want to have a guy who spent a year playing in all scenarios in the AHL instead of just watching from the bench? I think maybe in a year or two from now, Reinhardt benefits from playing every situation. But There's very good arguments both ways, but I just think at right now, man, I think I'd like him on the top line of Rochester a little bit more.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those things, you know, pay your dues, you know, ride the bus, you know, you got to pack your own equipment, you know, it's kind of, you know, pay your dues, kid, until you come with the NHL, it's not really handed to you. So, and that's, you know, from guys, you know, you hear guys all through the years playing in the NHL, coming up through the AHL, coming up through the ranks. They say it was nothing but good for them. So in a way, I agree. Sure, you know, you got a kid like that. You know, you can't have everything handed to you. He says all the right things, and he's humble just like Eichel is. But still, I mean, even though you're humble and you know what you have to do to work, you still kind of have to put the work in. You have to pay your dues. You know, you have to ride the smelly bus. You got to smell the diesel, pack your own crap. You know, it's just kind of a rite of passage, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's learning to be a pro. I mean, it's just as much learning to have to play. But I mean, you were talking about a lot of games. The AHL has, sometimes a more condensed schedule than any league out there. 3 in 3 days a lot. But I agree with you. It's the same argument for not bringing up like an Ullmark to play goalie here. He's never played a year of professional in North America. He's an incredibly interesting goaltending prospect, but I don't have any interest in him spending a single game up here this season.
You're probably going to see him, though. You probably are, I think, you know, depending on how long Leonard is out.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. If Leonard starts going into 2-3 months and Johnson continues to be the rebound machine he is right now, I could see that, but I think you're going to have to see another injury before they even consider bringing him up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Go ahead, yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, I also could see them signing a street free agent before bringing him up.
Yeah, or you know, like we were talking about last week, you know, pick up the phone and, you know, see what the Flames are willing to give up, you know.
For Hiller, I think they're going to want way too much, but I'd at least make the phone call. Because
sure.
I have no interest in trading a prospect for not – I mean, Hiller's had his moments, but there's a reason why he's not the starting goaltender in Calgary. I mean, you know why, too. But I was saying
sure.
There's a good argument for why you don't do that as well. And I think part of it is just the fact that Leonard's just a sprain. It wasn't a ligament tear. It wasn't a tendon tear. Like, I know we both thought when he watched the replay that, well, his season's done.
Yep.
That looked very much like the it reminded me of is going to football really quickly, was I want to say it was Marino that had the Achilles tear.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the mid-90s, and I was like, oh, okay, so he's done for the season. And it was kind of sad after the major concussion Leonard had last year, missing pretty much the entire year, to just have him go out that quickly again. I can't ever remember hearing a guy getting hurt for a skate staying in an ice run. Only in Buffalo does something like that happen to a starting goalie. The first game he plays here.
I've never seen that injury actually happen in the pros, but me myself, I'm playing hockey when I was a kid, and I was a goalie, and I'll tell you, when you're skating behind that net and your skate does get into an ice rut, my knee did like twist a little bit, but I was, you know, I felt it, and I felt my knee twist, picked my leg up, and I'm like, holy crap, what the hell was that? I looked down, there's this giant freaking crease, you know, this rut in the ice. I'm like, that could have been bad. So, I mean, it's like a freak accident, but, I mean, they're there. Yeah.
Well, I've heard of goals going in. That's the one I remember hearing a few times where they go to do a kick that can make a save, and the skate's stuck in the ice rut, so they can't get it out to make the save. I've seen a couple shots from the point. I remember a goalie talking after a game saying, like, oh, I went to make the kick save, and it got stuck in the ice rut. So, like, okay. And now, I mean – every time now they stop the play and you see the referee working on the ice with the puck, no one's going to question that anymore.
Exactly.
Next time you say, like, well, what are they doing to that ice? Well, they're protecting your goalie's ankle. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So where do you see the playoff teams in the Atlantic Division coming from? I said earlier I thought it was going to be only the top three. I was picking the Lightning, the Canadiens, and Ottawa, and them being the only three where you're getting both wild cards from the Metropolitan. Do you agree with me on that one or no?
I agree with holy cow, I just lost my train of thought. Okay. I agree with Tampa, Montreal, and I think Ottawa looks like a playoff team, but I still think that you're going to have one team coming out of the Atlantic as the wild card, and it's either going to be Ottawa or Detroit. I think Detroit is still looking like a team to be dealt with. I really do. with the young talent they have on there mixed with their veterans. I think they're playing good hockey. I think Jimmy Howard's, coming back to, what he was playing about 2-3 years ago. I still think you cannot discount the Red Wings because they're the Red Wings. You can't.
You say that, and then part of me is saying like, okay, I understand where you're saying you don't want to discount the Red Wings. My counterpoint to that is, do they have a coach that can hold it together now? Because I don't know how much you can say getting out of sometimes the sparing use of the veterans, sometimes the way they were playing a little bit above themselves, especially in the playoffs. I want to know how much of that was Babcock and how much of it was the players they have there, because I disagree with you. I think this is finally the year that they are finally going to fall back, because I think their team is enough of the team is aging to the point that getting to the 50, 40, 60 game mark, they're going to start fading, and maybe they'll start out hotter, but I just think they're going to fade down the stretch. And the other part of that is you look at the Metropolitan, and that's the other part of that argument, is the Rangers, they're still going to be making it. The Islanders, they're still going to be a playoff team. The Capitals, they could win the division. The Penguins, I'm already to four teams already there, and I could even make an argument for, because they should be a better team, and that's Columbus. They're 0-5, but that's a team I really believed in, and I don't know what's going on with them right now.
I don't either. Looking at Columbus, and that's just an aberration with all the talent they have on that team. Goaltender up. I mean, it's just insane that they are 0-5 right now. And it's tough. You look at the Metropolitan, like you said, with the Rangers, with the Islanders, with the Capitals, with the Penguins, with the Blue Jackets. I mean, that is a stacked division. And for anybody in the East to make the playoffs outside of the top three in each division, it's going to be tough. Though that wild card is going to be a fight till the end, I think. And there's going to be a whole bunch of teams vying for those two spots. It could be four or five, possibly, even six, when the season comes to an end, that are, within a few points of each other. So it could be really fun.
Yeah, I mean, because if you look at the Blue Jackets, they just got throttled by Toronto tonight. I mean, Toronto is a team that I was thinking was going to be 29th or 30th. And they just gave up six goals to the Leafs, who I don't believe has anyone who can score on it anymore. I mean, they're paying Kessel almost $1.5 million to score for the Penguins, but which will never get old to me. It's like you said, it's an aberration. And I mean, last year the argument was man games they lost, just the amount of injuries. And this year, I as much as I enjoyed watching that the Monday afternoon game with the Sabres just beating up on them, that was more shocking to me than the 4-1 loss to Tampa. I mean, all of us expected Tampa to come out and look as good as they did at the end of last season, because it's essentially, I mean, how much of that team is still the same ones that went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year? It's essentially the same team. I think the Sabres played them pretty good for being outmatched as they are right now. But I'm going in circles. Sorry.
That's cool.
to watch the Jackets just night in and night out just go out and get stomped on. I mean, it was Ottawa on Thursday, and now, I mean, they're not just losing. They're losing by 3-4 goals every time. I mean, their goal differential is just astronomically bad right now. They're more than – I mean, their goal differential is minus 14. Through 5 games, they're minus 14.
Yeah, that's not good at all. And even, you know, coming from last year with the Sabres, I mean, being an historically bad goal differential team, that's still shocking to see. The Blue Jackets, who are as talented as they are, I mean, even on defense, it's like it just you look at them, and especially looking at the game they played against the Sabres, how many defensive breakdowns there were against the Sabres in that game. I mean, it was shocking. It was shocking. You know, especially that that goal that Eichel scored when he lost the puck, came around, and then shot it top corner right above Bobrovsky's left shoulder. And you know, he did this. He did that to Anderson in Ottawa, and he did it to Bobrovsky in Columbus, And both the times when Eichel scored, it was almost an identical goal. Both the times, both the goalies looked back at the goal, looked at Eichel, and they were like, "Did you just do that?" There's only like 5 guys in the NHL that can score a goal like that. I mean, I'm exaggerating,
but he's done it twice. That wrist shot is just lethal. Yeah, I mean, because we're looking, like you said, historically bad goal differential. I mean, minus 113 were the Sabres by the end of the year last year. Which, if I ever have to watch a season like that again, I may give up on hockey. It was that. And if you wanted to look at it, as good as the hustle Eichel had to try to force a pass through, outskate a forward who was already halfway up the zone, steal the puck and get back, as great as his hustle is, what type of player is letting a guy get that much space on him? I mean, he was already considering himself out of the zone, and he lazily just didn't even have the puck on his stick. Eichel took the puck before he even got his stick on it. Eichel's great, but is that a knock on was Jenner, right? Who just like lazily tried to get the puck, and I can't remember if it was the owner or GM came out and publicly apologized for their performance in Buffalo, and then they promptly gave up 13 goals in the next 2 games. So obviously it didn't do any good. So switching conferences really quickly, do you think Chicago has enough to make a run at a repeat this year?
I'm not so sure at a repeat. I think they'll be there for, you know, they'll make the playoffs, I believe. I think they'll be fighting for the division. I'm not sure if they'll win it. I think Nashville looks really strong. St. Louis looks good as usual. But I hope, because, I mean, I like the Hawks. I hope that this Kane thing gets settled quickly. I don't want to bring that up because, you know, being from Buffalo, all of us, and then, you know, Kane, Buffalo star. I hope that gets resolved quickly for the Blackhawks' sake, because that's something that could, you know, really be shrouded, in a dark cloud over that team for a long, long time. And hopefully that's something that's not going to distract them for too long, because they kind of, the last couple of games, weren't playing up to their potential. The last couple of games, they looked slow. They looked like they were skating in quicksand. So I hope that, you know, there's any, like, the outside distractions, like Kane, first and foremost, aren't going to really bother them too much. But we'll see as the season goes on. But, yeah, that division that they're in, that central division, you know, with the St. Louis, Chicago, Nashville, that's going to be a tough, tough division all year long.
Yeah, Minnesota. I'm blanking on it right now. Sorry. Let's see, Minnesota and even the Avalanche. I mean, they were off last season, but that's a team that's only 1 year removed from being a division winner as well. You're right. You have, you can make an argument, and I mean, the Stars were doing great last year until Seguin got hurt. That's a team that I can sit here and in my mind rationalize any one of those 7 teams winning the division, including the Jets. I'm pretty sure you could probably do it too. At least in your head,
Sure.
you can easily come up with a scenario where at least they're contending for the division by the end. The hardest one is the Jets, but it is something that you can make the discussion. I mean, even in the Pacific, that top to bottom in the Pacific as well. I think the Ducks are going to be the ones that ultimately win the conference, just to make a long point shorter, just because I thought they were better than Chicago last year. I think I can't remember if it was you I was talking to, but to me last year, from top to bottom, Anaheim was a better team. But at the top end, Chicago was better. The top end talent that the Blackhawks were able to throw out in that conference final was better than the top end talent of the Ducks. But from top to bottom, I think they were a much stronger team.
Yeah, and I think Corey Crawford was the better goalie too for that.
Oh, yeah.
that series. I mean, he thoroughly. Who was the Ducks? Because they had two young kids. Who was the Ducks goalie for that series?
Oh, you're going to make me remember this now. it was. It'll come back to me. Yeah, I know it was not the player that I was thinking you wanted it to be, but I mean not the one I mean what I'm saying that's not the one you're gonna think of it. Wasn't Anderson? Was it?
Nope.
Anderson. No, it was. Was Frederick Anderson.
Oh,
that
was
their goaltender.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie and say I just remembered it. I looked it up.
All right.
He played all 16
games.
Hey,
it's better than
–
hey, it's radio. You know, you can make a lot of things up. It's all good. I think, Crawford completely outplayed Anderson. I mean, it wasn't even close. And like you said, the top end talent for the Hawks, it was a no brainer. It was no contest. Now, as far as the Ducks, I mean, they're starting a little slow too. Talking about a team starting slow, the Kings starting slow. Vancouver, they're looking pretty good. Miller's playing good. Other than that, you know, Vancouver's going to be there. I don't think the Kings are as bad as they're playing right now. The Ducks, like you said, they're going to be up there.
Coyotes,
Avalanche, they should be there
right
too.
Now.
Yeah, Arizona is terrible. They'll be 29th or 30th, right with Toronto, no doubt.
Well,
that's going to be
I was going to say, my point is, like last year, the Coyotes started really hot, had a bunch of wins in October. They probably wish they never had. But that's why. I mean, they're a quick start. I mean. We're not even to Halloween yet. We can't, I don't think, read too much into anything except this far, except for the point we made about the Blue Jackets getting outscored 26-12 right now. But
that's insane.
I think the Ducks are going to write this. I think you're going to see Coyotes fall. But just any final points you were trying to before we wrapped it up for tonight.
No. I'm really glad, that you're back on the air with us. Weekly Friday show, that should be fun. I just think that Sabres fans and Buffalo fans in general, this is a hockey show, so Sabres fans, just be patient. This is a very young team. It is a very new team. In opening night, you had 9 brand-new players on the team. A lot of these guys have not played together before. So it's going to take time to bring all this talent together that Tim Murray put together to gel. So it's going to take some time, especially with the goaltender situation that's kind of foggy. So it's just my advice to the Sabres fans is just be patient. This team is going to make mistakes. They're going to look great at times. They're going to look really bad at times. So it's going to be a really cool roller coaster ride, I think. Really cool.
Yeah,
so just hang on for the ride.
It's going to be. And, I missed hockey. I missed in the middle of the week just realizing, oh, there's a hockey game on. I want to watch that hockey game. So, yeah, we'll be around every Friday night coming up at 9 p.m. Every Friday night going forward. And it's really good to be back. I missed this.
All right, man. Yeah, and catch me, G-Money, for Monday Night Quarterback That's going to be on at 8 o'clock every night, so I'll be back on Monday. So we'll be recapping the Bills game against the Bengals on Sunday. So that should be fun, too.
All right, so this is Slapshot Rob for the Buffalo Water Cooler. Hope to see you get, tune in next Friday, and have a good night and a good week.
Take it easy.